Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
And this is what's happening in your world tonight.
It's the news update from Game Time Decisions.
Hey everybody, I'm Cam Stewart with your fantasy sports news update. The Memphis Grizzlies icon moving on. Memphis trading point guard Mike Conley Jr. to the Utah Jazz for a package consisting of Grayson Allen, Jay Crowder, Kyle Korver, the 23rd overall selection in this NBA draft, and a future first-round pick, the first-rounder from 2020. This trade will be made official once the league-wide moratorium ends on July 6th. Conley has only played all of his 12 seasons in Memphis. The vet averaged a career-high 21.1 points a game, too, this year. Very solid. The Grizz also own the number 2 overall pick in Thursday's NBA draft. After landing Conley, Utah now expected to let Ricky Rubio leave as a free agent. The Houston Rockets are reportedly set to aggressively pursue Jimmy Butler as a free agent. This according to the Houston Chronicle. Butler is seen as an ideal fit for Houston, both defensively and offensively, but it stands the Rockets are well over the salary cap right now and cannot sign Butler to a max contract. The 29-year-old expected to decline his $19.8 million player option with Philly in order to land a max deal in free agency. It's unclear if Butler's link to the Rockets is related to the saga surrounding Chris Paul. It was reported Tuesday that the All-Star guard asked to be traded after a breakdown in his relationship with James Harden. The Rockets brass denying the claim. Butler spent last season with Minnesota and Philly, averaged 18.2 points, 5.3 boards, 4 assists in 55 games with the Sixers. As for Chris Paul, this story just in too. The New York Knicks say thanks but no thanks, turning down an apparent trade offer for Paul. It's going to be hard, as we talked about before. Paul, 34 years old now, and he's owned $124 million over the next 3 years. That's a lot of cash. The Knicks hold down the number 3 pick in Thursday's NBA draft and enter the summer with $72 million in cap space for next year. Milwaukee Bucks forward Chris Middleton declining his $13.1 million player option. He'll become a free agent. However, Middleton and the Bucks are planning on working out a new long-term deal. The 27-year-old is eligible to sign a 5-year, $190 million max contract with Milwaukee, or a 4-year, $141 million deal somewhere else. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist opting into a $13 million option for 2019-20 with the Charlotte Hornets. In the NHL, the Anaheim Ducks have bought out Corey Perry after 14 seasons with the club. He has 2 years left on his contract with an annual cap hit of $8.62 million. The buyout saves the Ducks $6 million in cap space. Perry is a 4-time All-Star and has captured both the Hart and Maurice Richard Trophy after a 50-goal campaign in 2011. In 988 career games, he racked up 372 goals and 776 total points. The NHL Awards Show, it goes down in Vegas tonight. MLB live action, one of the worst starts of his career. The worst, Blake Snell only got one out, walked four, and gave up six earned before getting the hook. At this latest dud, the reigning Cy Young winner, his ERA jumped to 4.40. Yankees all over the Rays right now, 12-1, still batting in the bottom of the seventh. Rest of the MLB betting board a little bit later. Game one of the doubleheader has Washington beating Philadelphia 6-2 this afternoon. Jose Altuve in Houston's lineup for the first time in over a month. And Cincinnati with two runs in the ninth for a comeback 3-2 win over the Astros. Big, big upset. The sweep, the Reds bring out the brooms against Houston. Baltimore and Oakland just underway right now. And currently we have scoreless. We are scoreless in the top of two. And the Padres lead the Brewers 2-1 in the bottom of the first. Bases juiced with two outs. Here's the rest of the board. 6:40, Casey at Seattle. Mariners minus 130, 8.5. Keller versus Gonzalez. Game two of the double dip. Washington hosting Philly. Nats minus 220, 8.5. And Max Scherzer intends on pitching a day after breaking his nose in batting practice. His eyes are pretty black. He's beat down, but he's still going to give it the old college try here. 7:05, Detroit at Pittsburgh. Pirates minus 210, 9. Zimmerman and Williams. 7:07, Angels minus -185 at Toronto. 9.5 is your total. Heaney versus Sanchez. 7:20, we got the Mets at Braves. Braves minus 140, 10. Welcome Mets versus fried chicken in that one. 2:08:05, we got Cleveland minus 120 at Texas. 10.5, Plutko versus Palumbo. Nikola, White Sox and the Cubs. Great names today. Cubbies minus 150. Giolito versus Lester. 7 is your total. 8-10. Boston and Minnesota. Twins 25-cent favorites. 9.5. Rodriguez versus Gibson. 8-10. Miami and the Cardinals. Cards minus 190. 8.5. Richards and versus Ponce de Leon. 9-40. Colorado at Arizona. D-backs minus 160. Gray versus Greinke. Total 8.5. And at 10-10. We have San Fran on the Dodgers. Dodgers laying 265, 7.5. College Baseball World Series. Auburn losing to Louisville 5-3. Vandy and Mississippi State underway. Texas Tech plays Florida State tonight. Women's soccer. Scotland up 1-0 on Argentina. And England up 1-0 on Japan. Go both games at the half. I'm Cam Stewart. Stick around, everybody. Mark Lawrence joins us today. We'll break down the ACC football. A whole lot of fun on today's show. Stick around. Red Heat and Rage, Hour 1, coming up next.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
All right, let's roll. Game time decisions. Ready to rage. Our radio has begun. That's with our radio network. iHeartRadio, TuneIn, YouTube. I am Gabriel Morenci. Throwing it down with the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart will be with you till about 7 o'clock Eastern this evening, keeping you up to date, giving you excellent analysis, insight, and winners. The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. What's up, Cam?
What's happening, Morenci? Are you rocking that Cincinnati under again? Keep digging. Reds win 3-2. Reds win. I think they sweep the Astros. What a series for Cincinnati.
I got lucky, Cam, because I did not even realize it was an afternoon game, and I got to the FanDuel Sportsbook. I haven't been there in a couple of days. I got to the FanDuel Sportsbook today, and I saw a little live in-game action. I wasn't getting the best number, but I had confidence in it anyways. Under 7. Under 7 hits. The Cincinnati Reds. Nice to get the day going with a win. The Cincinnati Reds are now 14-1 to the under in their last 15 baseball games. And hey, listen, I can't come to your house and click it for you, people. We told you about this streak when it was at 8. I wish we would have caught on a little bit earlier. For the record, you know the Atlanta Braves are 10-0 to the over in their last 10 games. I hate betting baseball makes overs, sense. But the Braves are 10-0 to the over. But Cincinnati 14-1, guys. So since we caught on, and we did have a couple of the unders during that streak, but really, like, we've bet it every day since it was 8-0. So we're now 6-1 in the last 7 days playing these unders. It's unbelievable. Like, they're just a freaking under machine. They're now it's 46-24 to the under on the season.
They got an underrated bullpen, too, with guys that were starters, but like guys like Amir Garrett, as we talk about. Also, their starters are pretty good. They're just in Cincinnati. Castillo's a great pitcher. Desclafani can give you some quality starts. Maley's been better lately. So that's the thing about the Reds. At the start of the year, all the pundits, oh, yeah, the bats. They're going to score a lot of runs and give up the runs. It's actually opposite. They're getting pitching, and rarely do they score, but a nice 3-2 win today. Yeah, we're going to keep on rocking those unders because they've really their pitching looks a hell of a lot better the last couple months.
Reds sweep the Houston Astros. We'll break down the baseball board. We'll get you caught up to date. There's a College World Series action going on. We'll see if Lou is stepping up and in yet with some College World Series action for us. I know we've got UFC, the Korean Zombie returns. The thing I'm most interested in right now is the NBA draft and free agency. Yeah, NBA draft and free agency. I put in a draft prop already. So I got one draft prop. I've been talking about it for the last 24 hours or so about Darius Garland. We'll get into that. We have to do a Kawhi Leonard update, free agency, Chris Paul, Skip Bayless falls for a parody account and more.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
right, let's go. Game Time Decisions, Red Heat Rage, our radio, Fantasy Sports, our radio network, of course, iHeart Radio. Tune in, YouTube, and whatever platform you're joining us. We appreciate it. I'm Renzi. He's Cam Stewart. Let's get down to business so we can get to as many teams and topics as possible with the guru from the playbook, playbook.com. You can get all the information. You can get the playbook on your mobile device as well. But you can also order the magazine if you're old school. And if there's still a newsstand that hasn't been demolished and placed by a Starbucks in your town, then you can check out Playbook at your local newsstand or magazine stand as well. Mark Lawrence, playbook.com, joins us. How you doing, Mark?
Doing great, Gabe. And I'll tell you this, if you looked up the definition of old school in the dictionary, you would see my picture there, yes.
Yeah, well, I'm moving in
picture,
on the
you look good.
I'm moving in on the Sterling Club myself, Mark, to be honest.
That's
with
right,
you.
Gabe. $5 menu, Gabe. You're almost there.
I'm a couple of years away from getting treated. Yeah, at least I'll take advantage of it, too. Here's my ID, sir.
Damn right you will. I can't wait. That's one of the advantages of 50, buddy.
But I was actually going to say, too, speaking of old school, Mark, we took the shot last week about the shock therapy. How about them Toronto Raptors, Mark, NBA champions?
Yeah, that's really nice, Gabe. It was nice to see that. We kind of had that feeling that they could do it after they pulled the rug on Milwaukee, especially with Golden State not being 100% healthy. We mentioned about racehorses being 100% fit to win big, big races, and Golden State wasn't 100% fit. And a tip of the hat to the Raptors. They did a great job, and I really like the makeup of that basketball team. I just hope they can keep them all intact come next season.
Yeah, well, that's it. We'll see if Kawhi Leonard. I think he is going to re-sign, but until it's official, it's not official. But what is official is college football is rapidly approaching right now. We began our college football preview last week with the American Athletic Conference. Now we're into the ACC. And by far, this is the most sort of, people talk about income in quality right now. Mark, you know, this is the classic 1%. Clemson's the 1%ers and everyone else the 99%er here. I mean, Clemson's minus 600, guys. Yeah, they're minus 600, Cam. By far the largest conference favorite. The second closest largest number is Alabama at minus 180. Clemson, minus 600, Mark. The closest team after that, Miami, Florida, plus 850. Then it's Virginia, 30-1. Virginia Tech, 30-1. Florida State, 35-1. NC State, 35-1. The Cuse, 35. Tech, Georgia Tech, 65. Boston College, 100-1. Mark, wow. The ACC used to be kind of, Florida State, Clemson, and a couple of others. Right now, it's Clemson and everybody else.
It is. And, tip of the hat to Dabo Swinney. Great job that he did there. Became the only team in college football history to win a college football championship game and go undefeated for the season. That's the good news. The bad news is now they're going to be a highly targeted football team this year, and a highly targeted team that comes back really, really thin on the defense. They rank number 100 in the country out of 130 teams in returning production rankings on defense, does Clemson here. So he's going to have to shore things up defensively that way. But you know and I know that he recruits as well as anybody in the country.
I'm looking at their win total here. It's 11.5. So in other words, you're basically betting, are they going to go undefeated in the regular season? Their schedule is very manageable, Mark. There could be a hiccup along the way. It is plus 130. To me, Cam, I just can't bet a team that, hey, listen, they got to go undefeated and I'm only getting plus 130. You told me, all right, listen, yeah, I'll give you a plus 200, plus 250. Clemson can't lose a game. You win your bet. I'll take the bet, but plus 130, no value there, guys.
No, there's no value. And Trevor Lawrence, he's fantastic. But any type of injury, Gabe, to Mark's earlier point, look at all the guys from Clemson on the defensive side of the ball that went to the NFL, key components and players they'll be able to roll through the ACC, but the rest of it, it's not going to be so simple. And Mark brought up the point too, targeted now. Like, these guys are like Alabama, so you're going to get everyone's best, but that's a bad bet, Gabe. I'm with you. I won't be pulling the trigger there.
So Clemson's going to win this conference. Sorry, Mark.
Go ahead, Gabe. I was going to say this
Clemson's
behalf. Mentioning that they were undefeated last year, in my database, looking at teams that went undefeated the previous year, they've been miserable as non-conference favorites of the following year. Just 66-91 to the spread. So you're going to find Clemson in that role two times this year, against Texas A&M at home in Game 2, the last week of the season at South Carolina. And if that hiccup occurs, I'm going to go on record as saying it will come in one of those two football games.
Mark Lawrence with us. So Clemson, you know, they're minus 600 to win the conference. A team I wanted to ask you about, Mark, and what stands out to me in the preview, in the playbook preview, is the Virginia Tech schedule. And talk to us about this Virginia Tech Hokie schedule. And I'm looking for a win total right now. FanDuel does not have one up. We'll poke around another couple of books. But listen, Virginia Tech, obviously, I don't think Virginia Tech, they're not winning the ACC this year. But what about a win total to the over? Are you bullish on Virginia Tech, Mark, with this soft schedule that they have?
I'm as bullish on Virginia Tech as any team in this conference this year, Gabe. There's no back-to-back road games in sight for this football program. You have Ryan Willis, the quarterback, coming back. He's been they've had their third primary starting quarterback now for 3 years in a row. And what I really like about this team is this. They were red-faced embarrassed last year defensively. Their defense went backwards 119 yards. That's a Bud Foster defense that's really been their claim to fame. But what I really like inside, look inside these numbers here at these returning production rankings, and we put these in the playbook new this year, and this is a valuable tool to handicap with. They're number one in the country in most returning production rankings in total team defense. So look for Virginia Tech to bounce back defensively, and with a lot of help offensively, I think they're going to be the surprise team in the ACC this year.
And how about this, guys? How about this? So they... Yep. They play in the ACC, but they don't play Clemson this year. They don't play Florida State this year, and they don't play Syracuse this year. Yeah, so you're basically, all right, there's a couple other teams you got to play. But, you know, everything sets up very nicely for a win total. I'm trying to find one right now, and I still don't see one for Virginia Tech. It's annoying. But, yeah, I like where Mark Lawrence is going with this.
They're also a mission team, Gabe, this year, if you will. They had a losing record last year, Justin Fuente, so those teams generally tend to bounce back, winning tradition-type teams the next year. So I think all the ingredients are in place for this Hokie team to make a lot of noise this season.
And, Mark, Gabe mentioned it, another team that I was just going to ask you about, Syracuse. I love what Dino Babers is doing, but losing Eric Dungy, he was a good quarterback. They're bringing in Tommy DeVito. I like this team. I think Syracuse, they're climbing, mostly known for the basketball with Boeheim, but Babers has done a great job there. What do you think? They got some nice additions from some big-time programs, too, and with the weaker conference, Mark, because, you know, it's Clemson and everybody else. What do you think about Syracuse? They do some damage?
I'm a big Dino Babers fan here. He brings an offense element into this conference that nobody else sees, and I don't believe they've caught up with him just yet. From 4 wins to 10 wins last season, that probably says that they're not going to get anywhere near those 10 wins against this year, but they're going to be very, very competitive. As you mentioned, Cam, they bring in Abdul Adams, a running back from Oklahoma, and Tristan Jackson, a wide receiver from Michigan State. So suddenly players from Power 5 conferences want to play with Syracuse, which is really, really good about this football program here. And I think they're going to end up doing well. They're a little bit of an antithesis about teams that were losers and became winners next year, so they might struggle with the spread, but Syracuse will go bowling.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll continue talking ACC football with Mark Lawrence. Game Time Decisions, MedHeat Rage Radio continues. Fantasy Sports, our radio network.
From From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Decisions ready for Major Radio Fantasy Sports on Radio Network. iHeart tuned in. I see a funny story here. ESPN has cut off LeVar Ball. funny how like they put LeVar Ball on TV every day, and now LeVar Ball's not on Team Lakers, ripping the Lakers, laughing at the Lakers, ripping LeBron and everybody. Suddenly he's cut off. No, we don't need LeVar Ball anymore. We'll get to that a little bit later on, Mark Lawrence. With us, I just got to bring up. Eric Dungy, no longer the quarterback at Syracuse this year. But I love the name, guys, of the new kid in town here, Tommy DeVito.
Yeah, Tom DeVito.
Hey, Tommy DeVito.
Tom DeVito.
And I don't know, man. There's so many of these like kids. Yeah, is it like is it Danny DeVito have a kid or a grandkid or something like that? I want to look up Tommy DeVito's bloodlines here, but Tommy DeVito in for Dungy, more of a deep thrower here, Mark. So he'll be able to expand that Dino Babers offense a little bit with more deep throws this year.
He will, and the good thing about him, Gabe, is that he got some playing time last football season when Dungy got hurt, so he's an experienced backup coming right in. I don't think they'll miss a beat offensively. I know Dungy had a pretty good career at Syracuse, but DeVito looks to be a tailor-made replacement.
Mark, so I was going to ask you some about of the Florida other State
five,
on my
feet here.
I'm sorry, guys?
Florida State? Yes, sir. We have a delay going here. I thought you'd jump in, Cam. There's a little bit of a delay there. So, yeah. So, yeah, what about Florida State? Win total is 7.
Well, you know, as we called in the preview here, Florida State obviously has had their woes here of late. The last 2 years, they've only won 12 games. The last 2 years, coincidentally, Willie Taggart as a head coach, both at Florida State last year, at Oregon 2 years ago. Those two teams were dead last in the country in penalties per game, which tells me that this is a head coach that lacks discipline when it comes to the players. And this is not the program to be at Florida State if you can't discipline your players here. you know, there are wild horses there, and I just think they're going to continue to have their woes unless he can rein them in, Willie Taggart can. But they do come back, again, with this returning production ranking, 13th best in the country overall. So they do bring a lot of production coming back, this football team. And they're going to have a little bit of a quarterback battle, too, here. James Blackman, who played on and off a lot last year when DeAndre Francois got in all that trouble, he's going to battle with Alex Hornibrook, who transfers in from Wisconsin. So a quarterback battle going on there that way. But I'm not a big Willie Taggart fan, and I will not be laying points with him.
I'm not a massive Hornibrook fan either at the quarterback.
I'm not a Hornibrook fan either. Like, even though he's 26-6, Gabe, you know he makes a lot of mistakes. On my book, Mark, Florida State 7.5. Don't you think that's a little ambitious for them to win 8 games?
Yeah, because they haven't won 8 games in it'll be 3 years, you know, if they do that. And I just don't see the improvement coming from a team, like I mentioned, not only were they bad in penalties, they were 117th in sacks allowed last year. They were 123rd in the country in negative turnover margin. And they ranked 126th in third down conversion percentage. These numbers just don't add up for Florida State. I think this total is based a lot on name and reputation.
NC State were a trendy team in the past couple of years, Mark. But as you write, there has been changes, a lot of changes right now up there in the Raleigh, specifically at the quarterback position. Ryan Finley no longer there. right now. They lost their two top leading wide receivers, top running back. You go down the list, and they lost a lot of player production coming in to this year. What do you make of the Wolfpack? And will they surprise people because people aren't expecting as much from them due to all the changes?
I'll be surprised if the Wolfpack plays anywhere close to what they've done the last 2 years. The offense was completely gutted last football season here. You mentioned Finley will be playing in the National Football League these days. Dead last in offensive returning production for this football team here. There's a whole new overhaul going on place here right now with this football program here. Five Wolfpack quarterbacks will be playing in the National Football League this year, including Finley. And their top running back, Reggie Gillespie, also gone. So there's a lot of holes to have to fill for this football program here. I just think it's going to be NC State, again, another name and reputation type team here, and I think they're going to struggle to make a bowl game this season.
Hey, Mark, I want to talk about Louisville, and I like what you're talking, playing with a little bit of house money, a program that's really, really, really taken a hit when, you know, Lamar Jackson left there. They're a team that used to score, and their defense used to be absolutely abysmal, Mark, but there's a lot of positives with Louisville, and in the playbook there, you think this could be a team that maybe we can bet on, maybe getting some good lines on the cards.
I think so, Cam. You take a look. Number one, they had won only two games last year, so that makes them a mission team this year after all the winning seasons they had. They bring in Scott Satterfield in from Appalachian State, who just enjoyed all kinds of success there, and his whole coaching staff comes over as well. They faced last year 10 teams that ranked in the top 10 in the country last year in win percentage. So that's all behind them right now. I think this is a great hire by Satterfield coming in here, this football program here. He's got a tough schedule again, 10 opponents here with winning records again last year. But the bottom line here is he will improve this football team. Tough game to start with Notre Dame. But you know something, if he gives Notre Dame all he wants, and I think the Irish are going to be down big time this year, he could put them on the map here real quick.
Good, because Michigan's playing them early in the season, Mark. I hope Notre Dame are down this year.
It all comes back to Michigan.
We need all the wins. Yeah, I need all the wins we can get. So Pittsburgh Panthers, speaking of needing wins, Narduzzi needed to have a good year last year, and he did, Mark. But they lost a lot of talent, this football team. What do you make of the Pittsburgh Panthers this year with a pretty difficult schedule coming up?
Yeah, real difficult schedule, Gabe. If you take a look, you find 10 teams on their schedule this year that were in bowl games last football season here. That's really, really strong. And in fact, if you look at Narduzzi, he's lost 31 games with Pitt. 27 of them have come against teams that went on to a bowl game. So that doesn't bode well for this football team coming back this season here. He also loses a pair of 1,000-yard running backs as well. They're going to need to do some things that they haven't done before because they've got this real salty schedule, as we talked about here. And I think they're going to have a difficult time getting back to that 7-win bowl caliber level this year.
It's saltier than a pretzel at Madison Square Garden.
That's salty. That's a salty pretzel.
They
went what about Virginia?
They went
what about Virginia,
Panthers?
Guys?
They open up with Pittsburgh. And the thing with Pittsburgh's schedule, they open up with Virginia. So right out of the gate, bam, you get the Virginia Cavaliers. You get a conference game. No party. You get Frank Solich rolling to town the following week. Then you go to Penn State. And we saw last year that didn't end well. Playing Penn State for them. And then no reprieve after that, Mark. Boom. Central Florida rolls into Heinz Field. I guess they could be 2-2, but I'm looking at this schedule, and it wouldn't surprise me if they were 1-3. Things could be a disaster. They could be 0-4. They'll probably beat Ohio. Virginia, Pittsburgh, the Virginia game will come down to the wire. Can't just ask you about Virginia, but yeah, Pittsburgh's in real tough with this schedule, Mark. They could be in a deep hole pretty early.
You know, I'm going to go so far as to say they might not win a conference game this year. A lot's going to depend upon what happens early with this football team. But those teams in this conference, a lot of which those 10 bowl teams I talked about, are conference opponents this football season here. So I think this is going to end up being kind of an undoing for Pat Narduzzi this football season this year. Again, the schedule goes a long, long way in doing just that, and I just don't see enough defensively from this team this football season.
Mark, I know in Charlottesville, they're mostly known for the brains. You know, it's a pretty smart school, Virginia. Then you win the NCAA basketball championship, and Bronco Mendenhall's doing a great job with this program. And just looking at the schedule, too, Mark, you bring up some really good points here. A real easy ride for Virginia, too. Only four foes, sporting winning records, and this program's already on the rise. You got to like Virginia. More known for academics, but their sports are really on the uptick there, Mark.
Well, as you mentioned, Cam, they're one of the teams in the conference that really doesn't take much of a daunting schedule on. Only, like you say, four opponents had winning records last year. It was their first winning season since 2011, last football season here. But that's been Bronco Mendenhall building this program. When he inherited it, they were a two-win team because the players that he inherited didn't fit his concept, his play. And he's gone out and done a great job recruiting, and he's picked up the wins each and every year since thereafter. He's got a quarterback in Bryce Perkins, a good quarterback, 64% pass completion ratio last year. And we mentioned, you talked before about that first game of the season against Pittsburgh. Virginia's going to go to Pittsburgh, and they're going to come up with everything they've got in that game. They were 7-point home favorites last year, and they dumped straight up to Pittsburgh last football season here. So put that on your schedule there. Look for Virginia to get out of the gate pretty strong against Pittsburgh game one.
Mark Lawrence, playbook.com with us. All right, Mark. So we got about a minute or so left here. Closing thoughts on this conference before we move on next week. We move on down the list. Closing thoughts on the ACC this year.
Well, it looks like it's a foregone conclusion that Clemson will be the representative again in the college football playoffs out of the ACC. So it's a question of who can rise to the level behind them. And I think that team will be, as I mentioned before, Virginia Tech. A lot of people like Miami of Florida this year. I do not. Manny Diaz has never been a head coach in his career, and I don't know where the offense is going to come. But so I'll put Clemson, Virginia Tech in the championship ACC game for me.
But we didn't even get to Matt Brown either. We'll have to hit that down the road. Matt Brown is back, though, Mark. He's got a lot of talent back, too.
Yeah, Matt Brown, he's going to be good for the program. I just don't know. A little bit like Herm Edwards at Arizona.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Live action, fellas. Game Time Decisions, Ready to Face Radio. I see that FanDuel actually has posted win totals for the NBA season. It's too bad you have to wait so long, because I see a couple of bets here that jump off the screen. Jump off the screen. I'm looking at my screen now, and my screen's talking to me. You know what it's saying, Cam? It's saying, bet me.
Yep.
Bet me. Bet me.
Bet, like Fred Flintstone. He likes to bet. I'll tell you, Gabe, do it now. I'm telling you, like, it's like money. If you have it, a little bit extra, I know it's hard. It's not in our psyche. Me and you are very different. Like, we're emotional people. We like to fire it up every day, unlike other people. But I'm telling you, if you like it, a couple $100, you know, you put it away, it's already there. And then miraculously, when you win at the end of the season, there's money that you found. It's kind of like, you know, finding that last ice cream bar at the bottom of the freezer. I didn't know it was there. Oh, amazing. You know what I mean? It's like a treat. So anyway, that's my suggestion, is if you like it now, bet it. And when the season's over, it's just extra money in your pocket, right? I know it's hard to wait, but if it's a good bet.
Yeah, you could be like that Blues guy that put that $400 bet on the Blues and won the Stanley Cup,
yes,
buddy. Why not? Glad you pay you Tuesday for a 3-pick parlay today.
Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm putting $400 on the Buffalo Bills to win the Super Bowl. Pays $25,000.
Hey, why not, man?
You can't
go wrong with that. You'd be like that little cartoon from Family Guy. He walks into the bookie, gives him the $100. No, you keep it. Just walk right out.
Look at the Cam laughing his ass off.
He goes, Super Bowl. That's ambitious, Gabe. But I love your dedication.
Well, the St. Louis Blues. Who had a better chance?
Hockey's different.
The Buffalo Bills are 16-1.
I know. Don't have a goalie. It's the problem. If Josh Allen was their goalie and he can, you know, make a lot of saves, I think that'd be great. I think the Bills are going to win eight games this year, maybe nine. So maybe you'll get that wins over at 6.5.
That'd be a start.
Pay a little bit of juice. Yeah, that's a good start, Yang. Good start.
Yeah, that'd be a start competing in the AFC East. That'd be nice to see the Bills up there.
Everyone needs to settle down. I'm putting $400 on the Buffalo Bills every year until I die.
There you go. That
might work. One of these years, they're going to win.
That might work.
And I'm going to win like $25,000, $50,000.
And I'm going to make sure the mics are off so, you know, you can remember me, buddy.
Yep. Josh Allen has a Super Bowl in him.
Yeah.
He's going to a Super Bowl in his career. I don't predict this often about quarterbacks. I predicted that Matt Ryan would win a Super Bowl. When he got drafted, I said Matt Ryan will win a Super Bowl.
He should have. If not for their damn play calling and collapse against the Patriots. It's not like he, you know, come on now. He's real close. Real close.
I said that Kyle Bowler would win a Super Bowl. And I was right. He got a ring. He just wasn't playing.
Hey, buddy, it's tough. I thought Ryan Leaf would be a better quarterback than Peyton Manning. Like, I'm a stooge. Like, that was a stooge prediction. Listen, but, you know, what are you going to do?
The Bills, not up. Do you remember Craig Sager, poor guy, passed away? Remember the guy with the suits?
Yeah. The ties, yeah.
On TNT.
Styles, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, he was the basketball guy. He was the basketball guy on TNT. Yep. He passed away. I remember when the Cubs the Cubs won the World Series, he had the ticket. And it paid pretty good, too. And it turned out that he had played a Cubs future every year for like the last 27 years or something. It finally hit.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I'm telling you, the Buffalo Bills, yeah, if so, listen, how many more years do I have? Let's say I want to be ghoulish. Let's say hopefully I live like another 30 plus years.
That's good.
$400
yeah,
a year.
I'd like to see that.
That's only $12,000.
Yeah,
that's only $12,000.
And then you win more.
If they win once, we win big. The Buffalo Bills, I'm feeling it. The Buffalo Bills. 60-1.
They need to do it now while the Patriots are like playing pretty thin over there.
It's the best.
Yeah, we need Tom Brady to go away.
Until Tom Brady retires, he'll get a nice odd.
And then that Jets defense, man, that Jets kind of stepped up their defense this year a little bit in that draft, man.
I'll tell you, don't worry about that.
Already made that bet, Gabe. I got 11.5 under with the Patriots this year. There's no damn way that team's winning 12 regular season games. I think it's one of the best bets on the board. 12 wins. Come on.
12 wins for the Patriots, and we'll go over their schedule.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? Let's bring in a Patriot fan right now. Bob from Pat's Country up there in Vermont. Patriot country.
I hate the Patriots.
Hey. What's up, Bob? Hey.
Hey, what happened to the
Bobby
Boston. Hey. Was that Bologna? Huh?
All right, Bob. So, how did things go today? How did the seniors enjoy the ice cream?
Well, they enjoyed the ice cream, and then a lot of them enjoyed the Blondies today too.
All right, so Blondies. See, Blondie's is a sports bar in Vegas that I did a show out of for a couple of months.
Yeah.
I know that. Cam, do you know what a Blondie is?
Yeah, it's like
Blondie is basically Yeah, yeah. It's a brownie. It's about, but it's a light beige color, not like dark brown, Gabe. Not
yeah,
like chestnut
not dark.
Brown.
No, it's not dark.
Basically, yeah, it's a bar. It's a dessert bar. It goes good with
yeah, it's very
you know,
good. You
coffee
should
and
try
tea.
It. Very good. Very fattening.
Oh, it's a
though.
Racist dessert.
What?
It's a no. It's light brown. It's
I
light
tried
brown.
One
it's
today.
Not, it's
it
not
was,
totally white.
I tried one.
It's a racist
more than
dessert.
One, you know. Like,
well, I don't know. Like, who calls a brownie a blondie? Yeah, it's a brownie.
Well, I don't know. The person who made the brownie, I guess. Blondie.
I don't know. They're idiots. Like, it doesn't make
well,
any
I
sense.
Do like
I never
the,
heard
the band Blondie. Oh. I like this song.
I do like Blondie. The tide
yeah,
is high, but I'm moving on.
And hard to glass.
I'm going to be your number one.
Hey, Kim. How you doing, Kim?
Pretty good, Bob. My horse just came
good?
In third. Should have won, but he went sideways. But hey, at 12-1, what are you going to do? I'm doing okay, Bob.
So what about the Tampa Bay game? You lost that game too today?
Yeah, I lost Tampa Bay today. That's good. No, Bob knows
yep.
my bets. I got to be
well,
honest.
You're the
yeah,
one
no.
who told me that
funny,
Snell
Bob.
Is a great
Bob,
pick.
I'm
going to
tell you
he
something.
Got bombed in the first inning. Six.
Oh.
It was six
Bob,
nothing.
Let me tell you something.
Gary Sanchez
when
in the home
a
run.
Statement? It's going to go bad.
What?
It's going to go real bad. Ask Gabe. I called fires that pitcher on Oakland. I said dumpster fires. The guy had a no-hitter that night. And then I said, hey,
yeah.
Snell today had the worst start of his career. So if you're going to lose,
I know.
Lose
he only
bad.
Got one out that whole first inning. That's his worst.
Yeah, it's Cincinnati. I got Cincinnati was a big boost. I love
tomorrow
the Reds.
Tomorrow they're
going to
have butterscotch pudding.
Oh, is
oh,
it butterscotch pudding
nice,
day tomorrow?
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
because
about time, Bob.
Gave
like,
him
you know.
Choice of vanilla
that'll,
and
that'll
chocolate
the regular,
the
right, Gabe? Like,
now
too many bars
butter
and track. Stuff. It's going to bung them up. They need pudding. They need pudding to keep it regular.
Well, you should come up, Gabe, and have some butterscotch pudding with us.
I think me and Cam, we should do this show live from the seniors' home.
Yeah, that'd be that'd great. Be they like people. That would be awesome. You could stay at my apartment.
Gabe? I know.
You
oh, that'd be
stay
great,
in my
Bob.
Cabin.
I'll tell you something, too. Seniors like Morenci. You know what I mean? I used to take the public transit.
I'd
you'd
get
be
a
surprised.
Lot
because seniors don't like bullshit, right?
Yeah.
They don't like people who are like, hey, nah, nah. Like, I remember we used to seniors, love your show and stuff. I'm like, this guy's like 85 years old. He's
Gabe is
to be
awesome.
Gabe. Anyway,
Gabe
we've got...
is the man. Gabe is
the man.
Hey, Gabe,
we
do you ever hear
that,
this Sports Fury from on YouTube, it's called the Sports Fury.
No, I don't know, Bob.
You hear that channel?
No, I don't know.
My friends, they're from Texas. And my friend Chris went to Texas, and they networking with him. So they have three guys on the network now.
Good
He's
stuff.
From New York originally.
Is that
Brooklyn.
All right. Is that a good name? Sports Fury.
And he's moving to Texas. Where the Dallas Cowgirls live. A play.
Yeah, you going to move to Texas too?
No, I'm not going to move to that. I would really like to see the stadium because the players walk right through the bar to get to the field. That's what I want to see. Yeah, they walk right through the bar. And you could get their autograph.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
they don't give autographs
for
the game.
No, before the game.
Well, you gotta come up to a Giants game, Bob.
Yeah, me and Michael are going to the Jets and Giants game. Are you going to that game?
What, the preseason
November
game?
10th. Yeah, me and my brother are going.
Oh, they play in they play in a regular season too.
Yeah, they. This is the East against the NFC East against the AFC East this year. So we're going, it's November 10th, we're going. So do you want to go to that game?
November 10th. Yeah, that's crazy, actually. You're right. Yeah. November the 10th, a regular season game. Well, that's going to be a nut job show in the parking lot.
Yeah, it's a Sunday game.
Don't wear all your Boston fan gear. It's going to be all New Yorkers in the parking lot, Bob. They're going to, you as a Patriot fan have to watch out.
And then those people I talked about, they're going to the game, too. They're coming down. All the Giants and Jet fans are going down. I could meet them.
All right, Bob.
Yeah, I
good
love
to hear
calling
from you, Bob.
You guys. You're awesome, guys. You're the best.
Yeah, I appreciate
that. And
we'll
talk to you tomorrow.
You're the best.
Before I leave for work.
Thank you, Bob.
The seniors' home there, Bob. Butterscotch pudding.
What?
We're missing out. I could. We're missing out on the
butterscotch pudding.
Dave loves butterscotch pudding, he says.
Oh, I don't love butterscotch pudding. It's okay. It's one of those things where you have one of them and it's enough, but I'm just saying, Bob. You know, you had ice cream. You had like brownies.
Yep.
You gave them bananas. I told you, old people like butterscotch pudding.
Yeah, they do. They do. That's what Danison, my manager.
And get the people what they want. All right, thanks, Bob.
They like shortbread.
Yeah, that's
too.
What you have to
they
do.
Like to dip shortbread. Shortbread. That's a winner among
fruitcake. Fruitcake.
I don't like
right,
fruitcake.
So
right, see
later.
That's something.
All right.
I like everything.
Hang up on Bob Dank. All right. Bye bye, Bob.
He go.
Later, Bob. He gone. Yeah, fruitcake
there's
sucks.
A walk.
Like, first
it's
of
not
all,
a
wants,
head gang, but that's
wants
a walk.
Old cherries and greeny things in your cake. Like if you like fruitcake, you're a fruitcake. Like who it's got like green cherries in it and red stuff and plastic.
Like,
if I wanted to eat
like
a tree,
fruitcake.
I'd go eat a tree.
Cake. I don't know if you can say that.
I don't know.
I don't know if you can call someone a fruitcake.
I can call somebody a fruitcake. That's not very offensive. If somebody called me a fruitcake, I go, okay, I'm a fruitcake. What are you going to do about it? It's got those weird things in it, Gabe. All weird color, nuts, and green stuff. Bad cherries. Yeah, no thanks.
Dude, there's no way in hell. I'd rather starve to death than eat a fruitcake.
Hey! From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Game Time Decisions. Ready and Great Radio. Fantasy Sports on Radio Network. We'll get into the NBA draft and their props. UFC, College World Series. Lou joins us in level two. All kinds of Kawhi Leonard speculation and updates and everything else in between. But all signs point to him staying with the Toronto Raptors unless he decided to buy property, enroll his daughter into a private school. And now New Balance is releasing a Toronto Raptor edition of his freaking shoe. So I don't really know what more needs to happen. And the thing is, the deal wouldn't be announced until July 6th, guys. Right? Like, you know, we all wanted him to come out and say the other day, oh, yeah, I'm staying. And he pretty much did the wink-wink thing. I mean, throughout the entire day and parade. But nothing's legally done, Cam, until it's legally done, especially when you're talking about, you know, $194 million. You've got to sign the paper. The lawyers have to go over everything. There's fine print, etc. But, you know, Michael Landsberg doesn't break a lot of stories. It's not like that's Landsberg's game. Landsberg doesn't care, Cam. The guy's rich. He doesn't need the scoop or the publicity, right? So, and what you and I both also know, Landsberg is as connected as anybody in the rich guy real estate world of Toronto. If Landsberg heard about Kawhi getting the property, then you know it's true. There's the daughter story now that's pretty much been confirmed that, you know, his daughters are enrolled in a private school that just happens to be in the same neighborhood that Landsberg said about the property. And now New Balance is shipping out purple Raptor shoes, championship edition. Like, come on. Oh, yeah, and he's in Niagara Falls right now. I swear, man, if you guys can find action and bet.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Everybody, I'm absolutely Fantasy Sports News Update. Lots of NBA news. A Memphis Grizzlies icon on the move. Memphis trading point guard Mike Conley Jr. to the Utah Jazz for a package consisting of Grayson Allen, Jay Crowder, Kyle Korver, the 23rd overall selection in this year's draft, and a future first-round pick. The trade will be made official once the league-wide moratorium ends on July 6th. Conley has played his whole career in Memphis 12 seasons. And the veteran averaged a career-high 21.1 points a game last year. Very good season. The Grizz also own the number 2 overall pick in Thursday night's draft, and it looks like they're going to pick Ja Morant. After landing Conley, Utah is now expected to let Ricky Rubio leave as a free agent. The Houston Rockets are reportedly set to aggressively pursue Jimmy Butler as a free agent, according to the Houston Chronicle. Butler is seen as a perfect fit for Houston on both sides of the ball, but as it stands, the Rockets way over the salary cap and cannot sign Butler to that max contract. The 29-year-old expected to decline his $19.8 million player option with Philly in order to land that maximum deal in free agency. It's unclear if Butler's link to the Rockets is related to that saga surrounding Chris Paul. It was reported Tuesday that the All-Star guard asked to be traded after a breakdown in his relationship with James Harden. The Rocket brass denied that claim. Butler spent last season with Mini in Philly. He averaged 18.2 points, 5.3 boards, and 4 assists in 55 games with the Sixers. And as for Chris Paul, well, there had to be. Usually when there's smoke, there's fire there. The New York Knicks apparently got offered a deal for Chris Paul from Houston, and, yeah, they turned it down. Paul, 34 years old, is owed $124 million over the next 3 seasons. The Knicks holding down the 3rd pick in Thursday's NBA draft and will enter this summer with $72 million in cap space next year. Milwaukee Bucks forward Chris Middleton declining his $13.1 million option to become a free agent. However, Middleton wants to work out a deal with the Bucks, a long-term solution. The 27-year-old is eligible to sign a 5-year, $190 million max contract with Milwaukee or a 4-year, $141 million deal somewhere else. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist opting into a $13 million option for 2019-20 to stick around with the Charlotte Hornets. NHL news, the Anaheim Ducks have bought out Corey Perry after 14 years. He has 2 years left on his contract with an annual cap hit of $8.62 million. The buyout does save the Ducks $6 million in cap space. Perry, a 4-time All-Star, he's captured both the Hart Trophy and Maurice Richard Trophy. He had a 50-goal campaign in 2011. In 988 games, he racked up 776 total points. NHL award show goes down in Vegas tonight. MLB action today, the worst start of his career. Blake Snell only got 1 out, walked 4, gave up 6 earned, and the Yankees absolutely pummeled him. His ERA jumping to 4.40. Yankees beat the Rays 12-1 the final. Sabathia, he gets the win. Career win number 250 for CC. Congratulations there. Snell, obviously, the loser in that game. Rest of the board game, one of the doubleheader. Washington took out Philadelphia 6-2. Corbin wins. Eflin loses. Jose Altuve in Houston's lineup for the first time in over a month, but the Reds get it done. 2 runs in the 9th inning for a comeback 3-2 win. Baltimore and Oakland scoreless, bottom 5. Milwaukee and San Diego. The Padres have just taken a 5-3 lead. We got a 6:40 start on the card. Casey at Seattle. Mariners minus 138.5. Keller versus Gonzalez. 7:05 Eastern action. Game 2 of that double dip between Washington and Philadelphia. The Nats minus 220, 8.5 in that baseball game. Arrieta versus Scherzer. And Scherzer, he intends on pitching just a day after breaking his nose in batting practice. They're trying to bunt the ball. He breaks his nose, but he's still going to pitch. Rest of the board, 7:05 Detroit and Pittsburgh Pirates minus 210, 9. Zimmerman versus Williams, 7:07. Angels laying 80 cents at Toronto. Heaney versus Sanchez, total 9.5. 7:20, Mets and Braves. Braves minus 150, 10. We got Doormats versus Freed Chicken. 2 at 8:05. Cleveland minus 120 at Texas. Plutko versus Palumbo. Great handles there, 10.5. White Sox and Cubs battle of Chicago. Cubbies minus 150. 7 is your total. Giolito versus Lester, 8:10. Boston and Mini. Twins laying 25 cents, 9.5. Rodriguez versus Gibson. Miami at the Cards. Cards minus 198.5. Richards versus Ponce de Leon. Colorado and Arizona at 9:40. D-backs minus 155, 8.5. Gray versus Greinke. And 10:10, San Fran at the Dodgers. Dodgers minus 265. Pomeranz versus Hill, 7.5.
College Baseball World Series. Louisville beat Auburn 5-3. Vanderbilt, huge inning. They're up now 6-0 on Mississippi State, top five. Texas Tech meets Florida State, 7 p.m. Eastern tonight. And there it is, everybody. I'm Cam Stewart. Stay tuned. We got Gamblue. I'd like to thank Mark Lawrence for dropping by. Hour two of Red Heat and Rage Radio is coming up right around the corner. We'll talk some NBA draft pops, talk MMA with Gamblue, and College Baseball World Series. Maybe he's got some picks, so stick around. Hour two, Red Heat and Rage Radio, coming up next.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
All right, we're in the level two. Game time decisions, Red Heat and Rage on radio. Thanks to Mark Lawrence for joining us earlier. Talk some ACC football. Clemson and everybody else, not a very very good conference this year. But Virginia Tech, once we see a win total, could be something to keep our eye on. Vanderbilt's pulling away right now from a Mississippi State in the College Baseball World Series. Michigan, one win away from advancing right now to Omaha. We got a lot of stuff to get to, including UFC, the Korean Zombie returns. It's Wednesday, so Cam's got a bunch of golf picks to get to, the Travelers Championship. We've got some baseball, NBA draft, all kinds of stuff going on. And Cam brought it up during the update that the Utah Jazz get Mike Conley. And looking at the win totals, Cam, the sports books are very high. They have the second highest win total in the Western Conference, the Utah Jazz. And with all due respect to Mike Conley, even, like, Mike Conley's not really an upgrade on Ricky Rubio. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
They don't want to pay Rubio, so they bring Conley in. I guess, kind of. The thing with Conley is he's often injured.
You're right.
He's not getting any younger. He gets hurt all the time. He's good. You know, like, Conley would be better on a really good team. Like, if you told me, yeah, Conley's joining the Lakers. And then I'd be like, yeah, you know what? They got something now. You got Conley at point guard. He doesn't have to exert himself too much. Just, you know, alley-oop, pass the ball to LeBron and to AD, fine. But Conley going to Utah and grinding in the altitude every night, Cam, I'm not in love with this, actually. I think they're a little overhyped, bro, at 52.5. But, like, to me, like, the number one, the Lakers aren't the best team in the West. And to me, Utah aren't the second best team. That's why. You're right. Like, when I get a couple of bucks, I'll jump in on this, and we talk about it all the time. I'll just put it in the drawer because the numbers are wrong, man. The numbers are wrong. Like, the Lakers are not winning 54 games. They won 37 games last year. 17 more game improvement, Cam. Come on. They're not winning 17 more games this year because they have Anthony Davis.
No, and Anthony Davis is probably going to get hurt. We'll see what happens there. This guy can't get through a whole season without getting hurt. That's a given. As for Utah, I'm with you. I think that's an inflated number. Sure, they got Mitchell, but the rest of the team playing in the Western Conference, that's ambitious. As you said, Conley is a slight upgrade, but not a big enough one to improve the number there. There's too much competition, too. The Pelicans are going to be interesting. Like, their team's getting better. San Antonio's not going to sit on their ass. I'm with you. Under Lakers, under Utah.
You know what's funny, too? The Toronto Raptors continue to get no respect. And their win total is 52.5, the Raptors. Let me see the Raptors' record by season. Like, I got to tell you, they've won more than 53 games, Cam. They've won more than 53 games, I think, like, 4 or 5 years in a row, yeah. Type of deal now. We'll hit this on the other
it's
side. Gamblue's going to step up.
But Kawhi, yeah. You know, Gabe, when Kawhi sits, they have depth. They win games without him. So, yes, I'd look at the over.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right. Game Time Decisions, Ready to Pitch Radio, continues. Fantasy Sports. Radio Network, iHeart, tune in. All right, let's get to Lou, gamblew.com. We'll cut the small talk as level two rolls on right now. I mentioned College Baseball World Series. Lou's a big fan of the College Baseball World Series. Vanderbilt up 6-0 right now on Mississippi State. I mentioned the Michigan Wolverines. I thought Michigan's baseball program was a little better, but I guess they haven't made it to Omaha in a long time. It's like 1984 or something like that. But let's bring in Lou. Right now, gamblew.com. What's going on, Lou?
Not too much, guys. Always a pleasure to speak a little sports with you on Wednesdays.
So have you started betting the college baseball yet?
Yes. So far, having a pretty good campaign. We've had Michigan in both games as, you know, plus 145, plus 150 underdogs. Which is good because it's going to overcome a one-unit bet on Mississippi State plus 150 that we made that we're working right now, and clearly that game is not going to come in tonight. Texas Tech will be playing in the normal. They had to play three. They finished one game earlier than this. They moved this game, which should have been played last night at 7 p.m. Central, to noon today, at least noon Pacific, noon Central. And then tonight we'll get Texas Tech and Florida State, which was the only originally scheduled game for Wednesday. And what I can tell you is this has been an unbelievably typical pitching small ball tournament. Today the conditions as far as the wind are as favorable as they're going to be. We're now going to get into Texas Tech's second game, Florida State's second game. We're going to get thinner with pitching. We have two really good offensive teams in Florida State and Texas Tech. That total opened 10.5. It's now down to 10 with the over even money. I'd say just continue to be a little bit patient on that one, but I'm definitely playing the over in Texas Tech and Florida State tonight in the College World Series game.
Who do you think wins the game?
Yeah.
It's Red Raiders minus 129, Florida State plus 102. Michigan gets the winner of this game, right?
Yeah, and, you know, you got a compelling story with each. Texas Tech is a wily squad that's been to Omaha before, and they were there last year, so they have good experience. At the same time, Florida State's playing for their coach of 49 years, Mike Martin, who this is his last set of games with Florida State, and they're a highly inspirational team. But I think they might have used an awful lot of juice just to get to Omaha, and I do view Texas Tech as the legitimate favorite here. I think they're minus 120, 125, and I would probably stick my neck out on the Texas Tech side if I had to.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Texas Tech minus 29, Florida State plus 102.
How dangerous, Lou, is Vanderbilt? This Rocker kid, I've just been reading about him, too. He's been unbelievable. He had the no-no with, 19 Ks. I think he's pitching again against Mississippi State. This guy's unreal. What do you think about the Vanderbilt Commodores, Lou? I can tell you one thing. This pitcher's a stud. Remember, David Price went to Vanderbilt. This Rocker kid's the real deal.
Yeah, and today I bet that he wouldn't be. Traditionally, Omaha's been a place where ace pitchers go to blow up. This kid being a freshman, coming off a no-hitter and a 19-strikeout game against Duke, I thought the moment might get to him. I was completely wrong. He does look like the real deal. I will tell you that Vanderbilt, without question, is the most talented and deepest team remaining. And if they go on to win this game and they end up being the two-win representative in bracket two, Vanderbilt against any other team remaining in this tournament is a big favorite.
That's the deal with the College Baseball World Series I have a problem with. And I'm not talking I have a problem that I'm angry with, but it's always so complicated, as you just stated, the two-win bracket, two, and there's some teams, are they in or they out? Is it an elimination game?
if you pay close attention to it, it strategically, it gives you tremendous advantage if you study it and are used to it going into the College World Series. Now, I had two futures. One was Arkansas. They went.
Like how many teams are in the College World Series, Lou? How many teams go to Omaha?
Eight teams arrive in Omaha. It's designed until they get to Omaha. It's designed exactly like the NCAA basketball tournament with regionals of four teams that they go into a super regional, and then they break down from super regional 16 matchups to eight teams that come to Omaha, and then they're bracketed. And just like hockey, you got to understand your bracket. So too the College World Series.
All right, Lou, gamblu.com.
With us. Breaking it down.
You know what? Some very good baseball, actually. It seems to me, too, I remember watching college baseball years ago, and it sort of looked different than big league ball. Like, they look like college guys. I'm going to tell you, like, the size, and it's – I know they're using aluminum bats, Lou. You've been watching college baseball a long time, but it really – you know, the players really are bigger than they've ever been, aren't they? Like, you know, you look at these guys, they look like big leaguers, a lot of them already, to be honest.
They did. Especially these pitchers. They did dull the bats some time ago. The kids are getting more athletic, no question, Gabriel. But what you really see here, in my opinion, is you see a bunch of kids that are playing for nothing but the love of their team. The better ones were just drafted in the last calendar 8 days. So each of these teams has four or five guys that were drafted. But for the most part, these kids are all fit. They hustle every play. They play for pride and for their benefit of their team. And in that way and in that regard, it has nothing similar to do with Major League Baseball.
and almost college basketball and football. Not that they play for their team, but, you know, in basketball, a lot of guys, Cam and Lou, they know they're going to the NBA. You know what I mean? I know it's rare, but I'm talking about the talented guys. It's like, yeah, like Cam Reddish knows, yeah, I'm having a crap year, but whatever. I'm still a top 10 pick in the NBA lottery this year. Baseball, Lou, it doesn't matter how good you are in college, man. There ain't no easy road to the big leagues, right? Everyone knows if you're a baseball player, you're right. You're playing for the love of the game, man, because you have to go to A-ball in the rookie league, and you're playing in Maine or Vermont if you're lucky, if you're not in somewhere worse. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, Double-A, and, you know, look at Kyler Murray. You know, Kyler Murray was the 9th overall pick by the Oakland Athletics. There was no guarantee he was ever going to make it to the big leagues. I think he would have. I know he was talented and stuff, but, you know, you look at NFL drafts, so boom, he's a starting quarterback right away as a kid. Right away, he's rich. He gets the money. Baseball, as talented as he was, Lou, there was no effing guarantee he was ever going to be a big league star and he was ever going to make big money. He would have had to go through the process like every other baseball player.
That's really an excellent point. And on that point, you know, there are very, very few examples of guys like Kyle Schwarber that play in the College World Series, go to the pros, and then to play in playoffs and World Series. It'll happen once in a blue moon, but you're exactly right. It's a long, hard, arduous track from college through the double, triple, and all kinds of A-ball to get to the bigs.
You have to love it. And I would say this, Cam. Yeah. You know, Sam Mitchell told me this, actually. He told me this off the air about basketball. I was talking to him about, like, you know, the NBA and the culture of the NBA. And he told me, he goes, you know, Gabe, a lot of guys that play in the NBA don't really love the game. He said they're just big. Yeah, you know, he goes, if you're 7 foot, you're 6'9", you play basketball. Yeah. You don't really have shit. It doesn't mean you have a passion for it. You know what I mean? You have to have a passion to play baseball. Like Lou said, like these kids on Vanderbilt, they're not getting treated like Darius Garland did on the basketball team. You know? So, you know, this is the only time they're on TV. You got to love to do what you do, almost like mixed martial arts. You know what I mean? There ain't no big pot of gold. You better like doing what you do, almost like this business. All right. Big break on the other side. Talk UFC with Lou and Blue.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
UFC with Lou Gamblu, .com. We've got the Korean Zombie returning as the UFC goes to Greenville, South Carolina. The Korean Zombie versus Renato Caniero. And I want to look, Lou, when's the last time the Korean Zombie has fought? It is actually, so it was 2018. Before that, it was 2017. Before that, it was 2013. So yep. To say that he's, you know, been inactive would kind of be an understatement as of late. You know, faces a 30-year-old Moicano who has been pretty active. You know, has already fought. He fought Jose Aldo this year. He beat Cub Swanson. He beat Calvin Cutter before that. Lost before that against Ortega. So he's been much more active here. What do you make of the fight, Lou? Are you looking forward to this?
I'm really looking forward to it, and I'll tell you why, Gabriel, is because for some of the reasons you mentioned, I can't figure out which way this one was going to go, because you're right. You have a highly inactive Korean Zombie coming off a devastating KO in the last seconds against Yair Rodriguez, but it could be said that, you know, after serving his time in the Korean military, he's mature, he's focused. We know that the guy comes to fight. He's got cardio all day. With the Zombie, I don't question his commitment. I don't question his maturity, and I don't question that he's going to come to fight. I question the fact that he's given away 4 inches in height. He's going to be the smaller man, and he has been inactive. Yet, when I look at Moicano, I see the guy with all the physical advantage. I see a guy that has lower IQ in the octagon than a sunflower, for crying out loud. In his fight against Brian Ortega, literally for 2 rounds, Moicano was absolutely striping Ortega up. And then he walked into a submission and got beat. And then against Jose Aldo, he went out there almost wearing a dress. He never competed. I see Moicano as without power, and I see Moicano as having a dubious IQ. And so how do I take him, given 2-1 to the kid that is probably an overachiever but less skilled fight-wise? So I want to watch how it goes. There are no totals out for it yet, but I do see for the fight to start round 4 as even money. Boy, that seems to me to be a hell of a bargain, because this fight will start round 4. Neither of these guys are going to put each other away. This has decision written all over it, unless it's real late and one of them is able to take care of the other. I mean, the Zombie's going to crowd him and want to make Moicano fight, and Moicano's going to want to stand a different distance and piece him up.
Lou's bringing his A game today. Sure is.
Sunflower
with dresses. Like,
bring your dress.
I don't see a total yet. I don't see a total yet, but I see will fight go the distance plus 175. Yes, no, minus 250. And if anything, as anyone knows, the Korean Zombie knows, the guy, he's called Zombie for a reason. You can't kill him. You can't kill him. An interesting point that you raised, Lou, actually, though, that his inactivity isn't because of personal issues or lost interest in the sport or an injury. The guy was serving in the military, right? He didn't have a choice. He had to do it. They put it off. They didn't let him off the hook. It is what it is. So it's a good point that you raised, Lou. It's not like this guy's been sitting on the couch drinking Budweisers for the last 2 years.
Totally agree. He's been serving his country. It's admirable. You got to tip your hat to a mature based kid like that. And what I believe is that we can expect his absolute best come Saturday night. And when I look at Moicano, I think that you could expect to see his best after such a complete shellacking and embarrassment against Aldo. But there's some questions for me with his fight IQ, and I may have to watch this one. Like I say, I'm waiting for that over. That total's going to be 2.5, 3.5, and even if I got to play the prop starts round 4, even money. Like I say, that's like stealing, guys.
John Lineker, minus same price range, depending on the book. But John Lineker, about a 2-1 favorite against Rob Font. One thing we could say about this card, I mean, it's there's no stars on it per se, but you got dudes that are pretty violent. Like, you know, there's going to be some blood spilled. There'll be some blood spilled on Saturday. I guarantee it. It's going to be one of those, oh my, holy shit cards. Like, it's always these cards that bring the violence. So I definitely have my eye on it. But you got Lineker and Font. Barbarina is interesting. Barbarina is normally an underdog, Lou, and suddenly he's a 3-1 favorite against Randy Brown. But what do you make of the rest of the card here? Anything catch your eye?
Yeah, that Font-Lineker fight, that's a rematch. And in that fight, you know, you got Font that's 5 inches taller. He's longer. He's got all the physical advantages. And he's a fighter that likes to use distance and keep opponents on the outside. Now, in his third UFC fight, he caught Lineker. And Lineker, at the time, opened 150, closed minus 185, and won a 3-round decision against a Font that was overmatched. But Font, with recent momentum, as well the blueprint on how to beat Lineker by watching Corey Sandhagen keep distance and piece him up, you know, pitter-patter him and just tip-tap him to death from distance. I think Font's a live dog here. I really like John Lineker. He's a killer, but he only fights one way, and that's straight ahead with power. And I think Font has the IQ and the ability to stay on his bike and make this thing a really ugly dance in the park where Lineker never gets close and Font wins a decision. I think he's live at plus 160, 180.
How about this for a name, Cam? Montana De La Rosa.
Rosa, yeah. Montana De La Rosa, yeah. Versus Andrea Lee. The other, it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice handle. She's a big dog, De La Rosa, plus 185, too. I like taking the most of the time when I bet the women's fights, other than that killer champion there, I like to take the dogs there, Gabe. What do you think?
I'll tell you what. I don't know. I'll ask Lou. I'll defer to Lou on this one. But this De La Rosa, she is 3-0 in the UFC, taking on Andrea Lee. The only thing I know about Andrea Lee is she went out with the Nazi there. That's what catches my eye. That's what, like, tags me with her. But she is a tough chick. She's been on a roll as well, Lou. What do you make of this one? Is Lee just going to be too much for De La Rosa? But as I stated, De La Rosa 3-0 in the UFC as well.
Yeah, but only 23, and I think really in for a schooling against just one tough cowgirl that wears cowboy boots and probably rides on top, if you know what I mean. This girl, Andrea Lee, is a tough broad, and I think Montana De La Rosa maybe gets her PhD in MMA in this fight.
Wow, man, you're like Don Rickles.
Oh, you're on fire. Lou's on fire today. I'm glad there's not a D-back.
You guys are serving me up, baby. You're serving me up.
You're on fire. Keep
yeah, we go. We go longer. We got a couple of more minutes, but it's getting dark here. It rains every day in New York. And finally, Cardano's like, all right, come on, man. Because I always say, you know.
Oh, is that what they did? They asked you to change your settings?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
it's Gotham, hey. Gabe. It's a dark, misty day.
And it is. I don't know what to tell
him. I should probably
rip
down my Leafs poster too. I know he probably wants to punch
me.
No, well, it's just no. They wanted to change like on the fly. They're like, can you put the backdrop up?
No, that's not happening.
It's all dark.
No.
I said no. It's not as easy as just putting the damn backdrop up. Like it's I got to move around and stuff, and I don't really want to do it, but
It's a problem, like every damn day. Like, it's sunny and then it isn't. It rains here every freaking day. It's like Seattle here or something.
I don't know how you
okay,
guys
Lou,
do it.
So I stay for the rats. I don't know, Lou. I often wonder myself.
Mean rats there.
Before
too,
we let
Dave,
you
they,
go.
They bench press pizzas.
Man, I saw something the other day dead on the side of the road. I thought it was a dog. All right? And I was like, oh, my God. I nearly threw up. I was like, oh. And so I didn't look. And there's a lady walking her dog. She's all happy. She's like, I've lived here my whole life. That's the biggest rat I've ever seen. And she's taking pictures of it and stuff. I'm just like, oh, God, like, I don't want that in my phone. You know what I'm saying? All right, Lou. So before we get you out of here, anything else on this card? Anything a little bit lower on the card catch your eye? We got about 2 minutes left.
Yeah, there's a fight between Kevin Aguilar and Dan Ige. It's liable to be the best fight on the card. I'm actually going to be in Omaha over the weekend getting ready to watch the final series for the College World Series. So I'm not going to work the card on my blog as normal because I'm going to be out partying and having fun. But I will say this line hasn't moved much. It surprises me. Kevin Aguilar is a bad dude. And he's only about -150 in this fight. I think he's in a good position, and I think 150 is fair. The other kid is a strong fighter. Don't get me wrong. And this is going to be a highly competitive fight. Ige probably he's a great finisher, but I don't think he's been in with the same competition that Aguilar has. And based on that, I view Aguilar as a cheap -150.
LouGamblou.com. We'll jump into the College Baseball World Series next week with Lou. Check him out. Check out his website, Gamblou.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Gamblou. Thanks for your time, Lou.
Thanks, guys. Good luck, everyone.
Later, Lou.
All right, we're going to run a Pensacola basketball interview we did, and we're going to set up shop.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
This show is just flying by. Are we having fun yet? The morning after continues. We'll see what we can do about Brett Meyer, actually. We'll talk some Pelicans, but I want to talk about R.J. Barrett. Chris Patola knows college basketball inside out. Everyone's talking about Zion Williamson. But I'm telling you, man, there's something special about R.J. Barrett. His father, Rohan, a longtime member of the Canadian national team, very close with Steve Nash. I believe Steve Nash is a godfather. But I saw an AAU coach, R.J.'s AAU coach, say, this kid, like, wants to murder you on a court. Like, he wants to steal your soul. And I think he can really light it up. And I know the Knicks fans are disappointed the way things have turned out, but R.J. Barrett is a perfect Nick. Let's see what Chris Patola has to say about the draft that's rapidly approaching. Chris, always a pleasure. How are you doing this morning?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on again.
So what do you think about, you know, there's so much talk about Zion Williamson. And, you know, when people talk about R.J. Barrett, it seems like there's more, well, you know, he only scored because he shot a lot type of attitude. And I don't really get that because, you know, I'm a Raptor fan. I just saw Kawhi Leonard shoot a lot. I see James Harden shoot a lot. I see pretty much every star player in the NBA quite shoot a lot. What do you make when you hear the criticism of Barrett that, yeah, well, he scored 22 points a game, but he had to take a lot of shots to get there?
Well, let's also remember, I mean, those guys you just mentioned, those pros, are grown men. R.J. Barrett's 18 years old, so there's a lot of holes in his game. I will say this, though, and I think you hit it right on the head. Like, he is an alpha dog, and you can say whatever you want about his game. He produces, and he produces at a high level, and when Zion Williamson went out for that stretch of games this year, his numbers went even higher across the board. He thinks he's the best player in whatever gym he's in. He's got a mentality of attack. I don't know if he'll be, you know, a 10-time All-Star, but he's going to be very good. And I think he is, to be honest with you, and this is not the first time I've said this, of those top three picks, so Zion, John Morant, and Barrett, I actually think Barrett has the longest-term potential. I think he's going to be the best player out of those three. For a host of reasons, but I think you hit it right on the head. He is a killer, and he had a fantastic year, which I thought at times was overshadowed because he's playing, obviously, with Zion Williamson.
And I'll throw it to you, Joe, and quickly, and you'll know this, Chris, and I was talking to Leo Rounds about this, who, you know, played at Syracuse. He's Raptor analyst, and, you know, we were on a TV show, and it was off the air, and we were talking about Andrew Wiggins, and he said, look, Andrew Wiggins is a better player in college, in the NBA, than he was in college. And, you know, it's tough. Like, you know, players, they play in a collegiate system, and I think people sort of judge them and what their game is, not really thinking that, you know, the coach is the real alpha dog and alpha male when it comes to college basketball, and a player can only really play in that system so much. And just quickly about Barrett is he played in the Pan Am Games. He played with Team Canada against men, Chris, and was, you know, held his own, not just held his own, but was one of the better players on court as well. I think people just sort of get defined by their college game a little bit too much. I think it's unfair because a lot of kids sort of get put into a system and they're not really showing everything that they can do.
Yeah, I mean, I think in some cases that's true. I think the international experience for Barrett is something that stands out. There's no question about that. And there were, you know, for folks who didn't follow him when he played for Canada, he had some big time moments, particularly in down the stretches of games. So you mentioned his dad, you mentioned the Steve Nash connection. I mean, this kid is bred to be a pro. He fits he checks all the blocks that I think an NBA team would want. I think he's only scratching the surface. That's why I think he ultimately, to me, is going to be the better pro out of the other two guys who are probably going to go ahead of him. So I love him. I've loved him all year. And again, there are holes in his game. There's no question about it. But I think he's bred to be a star in this league, especially as that NBA, there's a lot more space. You know, there was a Duke team this year that couldn't really shoot. Teams kind of loaded up on Barrett and Williamson. He goes to a situation where, you know, now there's other good players. It's a more wide open game. I think he's going to flourish even more.
You know, Chris, I look at the number four pick, and to me, this is really where the draft gets interesting and kind of starts with New Orleans and what did they do? Now, I know a lot of teams have been dangling Darius Garland. The Knicks are working him out today, and, you know, he's been rumored all over the place, and there are no doubt teams in the top 10 that would love Darius Garland. So what do you think? Does New Orleans pick a Garland or a Jared Culver with the intent of just moving them? Do they stay there? Do you think somebody is going to move up? How do you think you see the number four pick playing out here tonight, or tomorrow night, rather?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think David Griffin is trying to do, and I talked to David about a week and a half ago about some other things, but I think he's trying to do everything he can to maneuver that pick. And the reason being, what they are going to end up having is a very young roster to begin with. And if you end up adding a Darius Garland, here's my thing about Darius Garland. I am not as high on him as other folks. Now, that doesn't mean I don't think he's a lottery pick. But Darius Garland played 5 games at Vanderbilt. He's coming off an ACL. And relative to the other point guard who's going to be taken in the lottery, Coby White, Darius Garland is only about, they list him at 6'2". He's probably only about 6'1", about 170 pounds. Again, I think he's going to be a good pro, but there is a development there. And so If you're David Griffin and you believe that the best player available, which is, I think, ultimately what New Orleans would do with that pick, if you believe that Darius Garland is the best player available, then that's the selection you're going to make. But I think the way that David Griffin's looking at it is with Lonzo Ball, with Ingram, with a very young roster that we got in return, and oh, by the way, we're adding the number one pick, do we really want to go down the road of adding another guy? So I don't know what exactly is going to be, what that trade would look like, and ultimately what David would accept. But I do think he's in a position where if they can get some level of veteran or some other sort of compensation that doesn't add another young guy to his roster, I think he's open to doing that.
And I get that thinking. There was a rumor, a potential Bradley Beal rumor to New Orleans for the fourth pick and potentially Brandon Ingram. And I brought this up earlier, Chris, and I'm actually going to the FanDuel Sportsbook after the show immediately, put my money where my mouth is, in that I don't believe there's any hope in hell that the Pelicans, and I agree about the young player stuff, but I think Jared Culver is pretty NBA ready. You know what I mean? Like, he's pretty mature, and so is DeAndre Hunter as far as, you know, modern players. I think these guys are both pretty much more mature than a lot of guys. But Darius Garland's represented by Rich Paul, and so is Anthony Davis. And we just saw what Rich Paul and Davis did to the Pelicans. I don't think they go anywhere near Garland. I think it'll be all smokescreen. I think Garland goes to the Phoenix Suns, who seem to not mind waiting and building and building and waiting and waiting.
Yeah, I mean, the agent point is a good one. There are a lot of question marks with Darius Garland. There just are. And, you know, you bring up Culver and Hunter. Like, to me, those guys are safe picks in the line of,
yeah,
of like a Shane Battier back in the day. Like, Battier was a lottery pick. And, you know, so these aren't guys who are going to transform your franchise. Now, this is kind of how the draft has become. It's much more projective. It's a much younger deal. And so the question is, like, do you take a DeAndre Hunter and a Jared Culver in the top 10 if they're just safe picks? And that's what I think they are. Good players, versatile, the things you said.
Look at the importance of basketball IQ, Chris. Look at, you know, the Raptors just winning. I would seem to me that people would want good, smart, high IQ players like these two guys.
Yeah, 100%. Agree.
Yeah, and then the question remains, though, you know, you still got Cleveland sitting in there at number five. You know, who do you think is somebody in the top 10, do you see? We know Atlanta has been trying to get up there. They've got two picks, 8 and 10. Chicago's sitting there, maybe Colby White for them. I mean, who do you see out of those that's 7, 8, 9? Who's going to be coming up to the top, you think?
Well, I love Coby White. I've loved him all year. And first of all, I love his size. I mean, to be 6'5", 190 pounds, and built pretty solidly at the point guard position is phenomenal. And, you know, the knock on his game is that he's not quite a point guard yet, which is true. But this dude scores like he breathes. And he was Carolina's leading scorer in ACC play. He's as quick a point guard to come out of there, you know, since maybe Ty Lawson. He's so good north-south. He had some big-time numbers this year in terms of scoring, and he became better. Like that, as he got better at that point guard position, Carolina got better as the year went on. So, like, I think he's going to be a very good pro, and I think as he continues to get better at that position, the nuances of it, et cetera, I think ultimately he's the guy for me at that position. And so, like, I think Chicago, to answer your question, if he drops to them at 8 or 7, rather, I think they'd be in heaven.
Chris, unfortunately, we've got about 30 seconds left here. Cam Reddish. People thought, you know, okay, Duke going to have three of the top five players taken in this year's draft. Cam Reddish's stock has dropped, but it doesn't mean that the kid still isn't born to play in the NBA. What's your deal? And we've only got like 20, 30 seconds here, Chris. So what's your deal with Cam Reddish? How far do you think he falls? Do you think he's a top 10 pick still? Will he go in the top 10?
I think he'll go in the top 10. He's not a top 10 pick for me. I'm
really
just of Cam Reddish.
Interesting.
Well, you're not alone.
I know. We'll see. All right, Chris Fatola, always a pleasure. SiriusXM, check him out. See if we can get Brett Martell, Ashley. We screwed him over earlier. We'll see if we can get Brett on.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
On the program, Game Time Decisions, but he's made video continues. That is the Sports Radio Network. We've shaken things up a little bit. We've gone with the
looks nice.
With the mountainside. Yeah, looks like we're in California suddenly, doesn't it? A rainy California.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, exactly. Looks nice though. Really nice. Yeah, you got the power wires. Other than the wires in the back, it's all good. But
the camera looks
a
lot better.
It's a nice landscape view. Your camera looks crystal clear.
Yeah, man, look at you, man. You're like 4K there, buddy.
You're HD.
You can see the sweat trickling on your face there, buddy.
Yeah, thank God I don't got HD. I'm sweating up a storm here, Yang. It is hot here. I don't know what's going on. But, no, you look good, Gabe. Like,
you know what,
look at yours compared to mine. You're clear.
You can actually see Gabe smiling.
Yeah, but you're going to be able to see, like, veins sometimes, Yang. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the veins popping out.
No, I'll see the veins if I leave the mic on. As long as I won't see a vein pop out, buddy.
I'm going to get, like, a line down the middle of my forehead here.
Those old anchors, they used to interview those ladies and say, what ruined your career?
HD.
You know, you see HD, the lines, you know. It hurt a lot of ladies' careers.
What,
that's why, you know, that you can't go as long.
I got to, I've got to find, we'll find the clip actually, but we actually had your boy Carlo on yesterday.
Yeah, Sean texted me. He's like, Carlo Koliakovo's on. I'm like, what? I go, yeah, I know him. So yeah, that's pretty cool that he did that. Why were you talking, NHL draft with him or Raptors?
No, we're talking.
He's a big Raptor fan too.
Yeah, like Sean didn't tell me he was booking him. He told me, he goes, you know this guy, Carlo? He goes, I can't say his last name. And I said, yeah, I know him. I said, why, he's coming on? I said, I'm actually surprised. I said, he's like, why? I said, well, I said, Cam knows him well, actually. Like, let's see if they put the thing up. But I asked him about you. I set it up, though, for him to take a shot at you. I forgot. I wanted to play it for you.
For sure. Oh, yeah, you get. Play it for me on surprise when I don't see it coming. Oh, he'll take a shot at me. His brother's even worse, but he's my fantasy football partner. They're identical twins. I didn't set my lineup this one week because my girlfriend's mom. Oh yeah, my girlfriend's mom's in the hospital. I forgot to set my lineup. The guy called me like flipping out on me. What kind of partner are you? And I go, hey man, I had like a family emergency. He's like, set your lineup. Okay, buddy, slow down.
I just sent it over to you, Yang. It's like in the first minute or two.
Right, Carlos, so we're talking about Brooks Koepka earlier. We'll get to the Raptors and Toronto. I love one of your tweets. I gave you credit. I retweeted it, and I said, look at Carlos and Skevner. But Brooks Koepka said he's never had a hot beverage in his life.
Oh, all right? Wait, Yang, this is going to take a couple of minutes, actually, Yang. Yeah, fast forward here. Good job, though. Yeah, it's a quick action. Yeah,
he's
no, but it's going to take. Yeah, no, he is. But like, we've got to get to. It's like the next question.
Want to get to the call?
Well, we'll play it in the. Okay.
I got my Jason update in like 2 minutes. Like, want to take Jason in Wisconsin? Yeah, he's got stories too. That's another thing.
Yeah, let's get him on. Otherwise, he's going to wait forever. Get throw Jason on. What's up, Jason?
Yeah.
Holy Christ. Who said I have stories? That's great.
You do.
What? No. One of you guys said I have stories. Ken, you said I have stories when I called.
Hey, you got like a minute, though, Jason.
I can't.
No, you did.
Get
down to business, Jason. You got like a minute here. We're going to break. We're doing you a favor,
okay,
so you're not on hold
again,
forever.
Again,
what do you got?
Again, rapid fire. So I used to work at, I can't believe I brought this up sooner. I grew up on top of high school, and I worked at Dairyland Greyhound Park at Kenosha. It was the largest greyhound park in the country. And 18 to 22, there were some forming years of your life, and it's, I still have friends from there 25 years later, so on and so forth. Anyways, we used to cash our checks at the teller window, you know. You start, you know, you're 18, you want to get your money, and go cash your check at the teller window, and charge you $2. I don't know what it was. Anyways. And this guy came up to me, he's all junky, and he's paying up the money.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.